When states are coming, then I wear local.
Yes.
You can do whatever you want.
My first time I was on council, I was sworn in a loper, so I just, but I didn't know.
Please sworn in.
That's awesome.
Were your Iowa? Well, I think Austin does too, doesn't he? He's from Austin, Iowa. He's from Council Bluffs, or.
I think he's from Iowa.
He's kind of sort of an adjacent, he's not like a through here.
Okay.
We are slowly taking those.
It's 5:30, I'll call the meeting to order. First item is pledge of allegiance.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Anyone desiring to view the Open Meetings Act may do so. The document is available for public inspection and is located on the table in council chambers as well as on the City of Wayne website. The City Council may go into closed session to discuss certain agenda items to protect the public interest or to prevent the needless injury to the reputation of an individual and if such individual has not requested a public hearing. Item number 3 is approval of the minutes, July 21st, 2025.
Move to approve the minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the minutes? Roll call.
Well, I did it early.
And the minutes are approved. Item number 4 is approval of the claims.
Move to approve the claims.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the claims? Roll call. And the claims are approved. Item number 5 is action on contractor's application for payment number 2 in the amount of $201,445.79 to Garing Construction and Ready Mix Company Incorporated for the Wayne 7th Street Trail Project. Roger Pratsman is our engineer with JEO Consulting Group, and he is on the phone.
Yeah, he's online.
Online. Hi, Roger.
Hello. Thank you. Yeah, so let's look to be some of the contractor. Basically, we get the sidewalk paved from Pheasant Run to Milo. And then we're still working in the area of storm sewer between Milo and Haas. And then from Haas east to the cemetery, all the paving was completed for a sidewalk also. And so this pay application reflects that work that was completed in the last month. So they're requesting the $201,455.79. We had a progress meeting last week, and the storm sewer work has kind of basically come to a halt right now because the Venture Link has new utilities in the way, and they did not locate their utilities during our design process. So it was not discovered till construction, which is an option that needs other utility companies have been doing. Everybody else located first, but CenturyLink opted not to locate them during design, and now we have this issue. So CenturyLink is working on potentially, I think the understanding right now is relocating their utilities out of the way, but it's causing this, it's going to be probably a several week delay in getting those utilities relocated so that we can get the storm sewer finished and finish that last piece of sidewalk between Oz and Milo. And then the other piece is just to try to keep some things moving there. We're kind of, we've asked the contractor to gear up to restore the course driveway because it's getting pretty messy. And so we're, if the weather cooperates this week, that's the plan, is to get course driveway constructed. And then trying to add one other thought that I was just thinking that now it just skipped my.
They're going to do some seating. They're going to do some seating as well, aren't they?
Questions.
Roger, aren't they going to do some seating?
Yeah, yes, the contractor's been asked to get all the seating done, you know, between for the two large areas, if you will. And then off of that, the other thing I was thinking of is we're going to be working on reducing traffic control, especially with school coming, trying to get it down just to the area where we're working right now, because everything else should be basically done. I think the lights for the replacement poles should begin in a couple weeks, and so it'll probably be another month before those poles are put back up. And then we're working on getting pricing for the additional lighting to extend it further west right now. So.
Okay.
I'll approve payment number two in the amount of $201. Sorry, go ahead, Joel.
Joel has something to say.
I wanted to update you. There was one other thing. Roger was in at the meeting, but there's one other hiccup with this project. The JOs, when they went and measured the storm sewer in the field, they thought it was 48 inches from the west side of Haas Avenue across underneath Haas Avenue all the way to the ditch where it would dump into and go underneath the highway. It actually is only 36 feet underneath Haas Avenue, and then, or 36 inches under Haas Avenue, and 42 inches from the east side of Haas Avenue to the ditch. So the engineer is supposed to be working with the DOT to look at the calculations to see if it's an imminent issue of stormwater coming back out onto the highway out of the inlet in a large storm, or if we have some time to address it. But either way, long term, that section of pipe in Haas Avenue is going to have to be removed. And just looking at some preliminary numbers that were in some different plans, they were thinking that could be anywhere from $40,000 to $60,000 potentially. So that's something that will have to be addressed down the road, yep. Either part of this project or a future project like maybe next year or something.
So I just got back today that Anthony had sent me an email, and I know he's completing the analysis right now. So I have not heard the result of that analysis.
So the measurements they had, we have to replace the existing pipe?
Existing pipe is too small.
If DOT comes back and says it won't work. Sure. Like Joel says, it may be down the road, however long, they'll give us time to...
Potentially.
Yeah.
And this would be a problem only in the biggest rains.
Correct.
So is this an issue because of the new piping that's being installed?
The new piping is 48 inch down to that point. Because that's what's needed to carry the water that's coming off the highway.
So your question is, if that same type of rain would happen right now, would there be an issue? There's a potential issue that even if we didn't have...
Yeah, that's...
To be 100%
blunt. That's where I'm kind of Eddie's doing this analysis. So until he knows more, I can't really say a whole lot.
So I guess, being blunt, my question is, if we replace the new pipe with the size that already is there, are we going to have to still change anything?
Well, until we get this analysis rerun.
The new pipe has to be 48 inches. That's what their analysis said for the amount of water that's coming off the highway into the curb inlets. Because we're now curbing that section where it used to flow into a ditch. We're getting rid of the ditch, now everything has to fit into a pipe that's buried.
So they had no choice but to use the 48 inch currently, and yes. We have to adjust what was existing to fit that.
Yes.
Cool.
And we didn't know prior to this that we had two different sizes under Haas Avenue?
The city did, JO did not.
No, but what was reported by our surveyors to us was that it was 48 inch. So they matched what they thought was existing. It was not. Once we could physically, you know, open up the start construction and get down in that bunker inlet, once we got the lid off of it, we got down there, and I don't know why the surveyor said 48 inch, but it was 36 inch. Then we started questioning everything else, and that was when we found out the next piece downstream, 42 inch.
Surveyor not confirm with the city on what's actually there?
They didn't on this one. We also didn't catch that it was done wrong.
Joel, if it would.
I would say, let us finish our analysis and we'll bring it back to you next month so that we have all the best information. We're not going to solve anything at this council meeting.
I understand that. I'm just
in my opinion.
$60,000 to $80,000 bill that we weren't expecting that probably could have been avoided.
Well, then you wouldn't have avoided. Then you wouldn't have done the project, or you wouldn't have done the storm part of it, correct? Am I?
Potentially, yeah.
Or it would have been open ditch or whatever, yeah.
I'll approve payment number two in the amount of $201,445.79 to Garen Construction and Ready Mix Company.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Roll call. And the motion has passed. Item number six is resolution 2025-45, acknowledging requirements for the temporary use of the state highway system for special events. This is for the Wayne State College Homecoming Parade and Band Day, Saturday, September 27th, 2025. We have Cody Westerhold and our chief of police here to explain.
Good evening, Marlon Shannon, chief of police. This is kind of Cody's first time. I think he inherited a new job. So I just figured I'd jump into. So what this portion is for, it's an annual homecoming band-aid parade they've done for years. There's really no changes to it from past years. What's in front of you now is just to get the resolution that's needed for us to turn in for the permit to close the highway for their event. And I do have Cody here. If you have any questions, I'll throw him under the bus. But
that's right. Take it easy on me.
What time does the parade start?
9:30 is what we have anticipated the parade starting.
Okay.
So we said it would end around 11:30, but that would be a lot of people wanted to participate.
Yeah. And the parade goes from where to where?
From First and Main up to the Willow Bowl.
Okay.
I'll introduce the resolution. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I'll introduce resolution 2025-45, move for approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Roll call. And the resolution has passed. Item number seven is action on the contract for services between the City of Wayne and the Board of Trustees of the Nebraska State Colleges, Wayne State College, for the homecoming parade.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Any questions for Cody? Roll call. And the motion has passed.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Item number eight, resolution 2025-46, accepting bid and awarding contract on the Wayne Perry Park Phase 4 roundabout parks and for the roundabout and for the parks and rec building paving project. We have Jordan Utesh on the phone.
He should be.
On somewhere.
Yep, there he is.
Hey, Jordan.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
I can.
Hey. So, you have, or Wes, do you have the exhibit I can pull up?
What would you like? Yep, I will. You want me to do the plans?
What I sent you today.
Yep. I've got the roundabout, and then I've got the colored roundabout.
Perfect. Either of the works right now. So, yeah, essentially, just what Wes kind of wanted me to talk about today with the roundabout, the paving project was the alternate bid item of the paving. For the roundabout. So I believe it was an extra $90,000. Is that correct, Wes?
Yep.
So just want to kind of explain what the, I guess, additional paving that you guys will be getting with the alternate bid item.
And
if you should go that route.
Jordan, I can point to things here, so I might take it and then you can chime in when you need to, okay?
Yeah.
So, we had one bidder, T.R. Harris, had six or seven that had taken plans out on it, but only one actually bid on it. T.R. Harris has done a lot of work for us down at the park already, does a really good job. no complaints whatsoever about Tim Harris and his crew. So what this is the roundabout proper. The base bid was the roundabout, what's in green that you see up on the screen here. And then also the park and rec parking lot and some sidewalk around the park and rec building. Total, that bid came in at $399,246.95. And the engineer estimate was $40,203.65. So about $1,000 under estimate on the base bid. The alternate bid was to pave the entire roundabout. So what you see up in orange would be paved. I can let Jordan explain a little bit about the extra inside orange. That's DOT specs, and so it's for larger traffic that would roll over your curb. It, I guess it's like more of a rollover curb. Like I said, I'll let him talk about that if he needs to. But yeah. So the total bid was $490, $12.85. And the last estimate that they'd given us was $510,309.17. So about $20,000 under the estimate to do the entire thing. So had some discussions. I sent this out to the Stool to Cool task force to see what their recommendation was. It's a, you know, if you go with, first of all, if you accept the bid at all, and then if you accept the alternate, it's $90,000 that you don't have to put towards the ball fields. But is this an anchor spot that you want to see paved? And then, so that's for your guys' discussion.
I thought that it was going to be more than $90,000 additional. And looking at how costs have increased or whatever, I'm in favor of using concrete for the whole thing. But I do know that takes away from ball field stuff or whatever. But I think 10 years down the road, it's going to be a good investment.
I agree, it's going to be a lot more expensive if we wait.
Right.
Prices don't ever go down.
And Nick did respond to, Nick Mayer was on the committee, and he pointed out, just things like gravel and the fact that with the walking trail there and everything else, it's just a lot more cleaner for pedestrians, for those driving, for these rain situations we've been having. Won't have as much of a washout issue probably at that particular area as far as the roundabout. I'm in favor of it, but obviously just one person.
I think in drier years, it'll help you dust down. There will be not as much dust. There'll still be dust down there because of the gravel lots, but this will help keep it down if we pave the whole thing.
I did not respond to the email thread because I figured we would just talk about it tonight with everybody, but I see the pros and cons of the paving the roundabout, but I would think it would be easier to the public to explain that we're spending an extra $90,000 to help put more ball fields in and do that kind of stuff than concrete. And I understand it's not going to get any cheaper. I personally would like to see that go more toward something for the community that, why we're putting the fields in and things like that.
That doesn't mean, though, that we can't, that it's just basically, projects for the ball fields might be pushed off to a future time. It isn't that they won't be done and we lose something, I don't think. I think it's just a decision associated with maybe extending some of the finishing touches of the ball fields. I don't know how far $90,000 goes on a ball field. But I don't know. I still see the long term, us getting to, because we've delayed things and put things in some sort of manageable order of importance and those types of things throughout this whole project. I still think that it's money well spent. And it'll probably keep people from doing as many cookies around those areas, flying gravel and more dust and all that kind of stuff. But
do you think it will slow down traffic? Because that was my only concern about it, is if it's paved, are people going to try and drive around it faster?
I think they're more reckless on gravel than they are on pavement.
I would agree with that. As a country kid, it was always like, get onto gravel and you can...
Jordan, that inner part, is it, the way Wes was explaining it, is it just more of a tapered concrete up to the grass area?
That inner circle?
Yes.
Or the chuck apron is what we would call it for the building. Yeah, I mean, it's sloped at the same percentage as the round belt, so it's at 2% slope, sloping out towards, away from the inner circle. So yeah, essentially it's just for truck traffic, but I mean, more, in this case, campers, if they wanted to take that north roundabout, I know we originally said that wouldn't be the case, but I mean, if it is the case, it's to protect that inner circle.
I'm assuming that curb would just move to the inside of that orange circle?
So there's a, actually, there's like a 3-inch rate, curb that, will be installed whether you guys move forward with the paving or not. So that's typical in most roundabouts you see today. There'll actually be like a smaller 3-inch curb up to the truck apron, and then the actual inner radius of the entire roundabout will be an almost 6-inch curb. And that's just to kind of help keep actual cars on the typical right of way, and then just for the truck apron to be used for wet back tires.
This is DOT compliant, so like it'll match the roundabout on Highway 35 when you go to the Norfolk on the Norfolk Avenue, where it has that same inner apron for the truck tires to go over the, as they back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm visual on that.
I see what you're saying, Clayton, about you know, wanting to put the money towards something with the ball fields, but this is essentially doing the same thing, just more directly. I mean, it is showing that we really believe in this area of town and want this to be a bedrock of our community for a lot of years to come.
And I understand that. Like I said, I don't know. I think it would be, to me personally, I would much rather see investment in the fields than a road at the moment. And that's just my personal opinion.
So since this is tied into the park and rec building with sidewalks and that kind of stuff on its own, we're probably getting a better price because it's lumped into multiple. And if I'm just saying that's helping us.
And I understand that.
Yeah.
If you were never planning, so if you said, we don't know if we're ever going to pave this thing, if it's going to just stay curbs for the next 15, 20 years, then I'd recommend don't pave it. But if you think, oh, in 5 or 10 years, you think, well, we could go back and pave it, you've missed the boat. So, I mean, but if you're never going to pave it, then don't pave it.
And that's what we've always talked about with the parking lots, too, that there's capability to easily pave those.
Right.
Kind of the same thing with this. But.
Can I ask you a question? Is there any plan, so you know, where you pull up to the Parker Max building, you go through the gravel parking lot, and then there's concrete right in front of it, isn't there? Or is that still gravel right in front?
Right in front of the parking rec?
Right, yeah, no, in front of the garage.
There's one slab on the west side that we poured ourselves.
Yep, and I didn't know if there was, because then there's kind of a trail, but there's no, I guess, real substance or whatever that goes down to the batting cages and then connects on to...
Oh, you're talking about the garage. You're talking about
the garage.
Not the park and rec building. You're talking about that four-car garage.
Yeah, the garage. I didn't know if there was going to be, if that concrete that's poured in front of there...
No, there's nothing.
...was going to be connected to the softball complex or the...
Yes, in phase 4C.
Gotcha.
With the ball fields.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, what the future is.
Jordan, the question I had is, how deep is the curb underground? I mean, is it a total of 12 inches from the top edge all the way to the base? And I know, you know, how the curb slopes on the inside to where the lane of travel is. How give us an idea of the height.
Yeah, so the pavement thickness being, I believe, 8 inches. I'd have to double check on plans, but
Seven.
Pavement thickness will be 7 or 8 inches.
It's seven.
It's seven.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the pavement below the curb will be 7 inches, and then you'll have a 6-inch curb on the top. So if you're looking at the back side of the curb, I mean, you'd be at 13 inches in total thickness.
And when they pour that curb, is there some type of cable or rebar to help reinforce that, or is it just standalone concrete with cut joints?
Yeah, in our detail, we have Randy or Ferber, pieces of rebar that run longitudinally with the curb itself, and that was sort of how the rest of the curb and gutter was installed.
And so this is one thing that, you know, yeah, I don't like the idea of spending $90,000 for extra concrete, but, you know, what I also, or I think what we need to take into account is, if we just do the curb, it has to be filled with rock. If we do decide to concrete it in the future, that rock has to come out. Labor intensive, you're going to bring payloaders in there, you're going to remove it, hoping you don't break curb, which increases, you know, cost for repairing the curb. And I'm guessing removal of the rock is probably not going to be a steel. You know, it's probably going to be, you know, a higher cost because it's not going to be fun. It's going to be kind of a pain. So, you know, I look at it as, you know, we could have maybe, I don't know, $30,000, Jordan. Is that probably a good idea, or are we talking, you know, 40 or 20,000 in removal of all the rock and preparation for future concrete of this roundabout?
I don't know. I wouldn't say 20. It'd probably be closer to, the 10 to 15 range. But yeah, obviously you run into situations where somebody runs into the curb with a skid loader and breaks that off. Whether that is something you have to pay for or the contractor had to pay for it, you do run into situations like that. And then I guess backing off of that is currently, if you do move forward with the paving, all the rock will be used as a base layer in and around the Parks and Rec building. And if you decide to pave it later, that rock doesn't really have a home at that point, unless you guys decide to use it elsewhere, because it'll be a little bit thicker. The base layer, I think, is typically like the 2-inch size rock, where the Thurpitz course is like 3/4-inch fines. To kind of use that throughout maintenance would be tough, just because it's a little thicker rock. So you'd have that expect to deal with it as well, but.
So either way, I mean, you could be talking, like you said, you know, 10 to 15, but overall, if we wait 5 to 10 years, that could easily be an extra 10 to 20, 25,000 extra concrete, because, you know, we're looking at what, $90,000 and 99, whatever it is? 90,000.
Yeah.
Concrete's not going down.
There'd be additional subgrade grab as well. I mean, once you do pull the rock out.
So, I mean, I think realistically in the future, we could be saving, you know, to me, 30,000, you know, realistically, if we do it now compared to in the future. So, and not knowing what the future holds, and I think just overall, I think you, correct me if I'm wrong, Jordan, that you're going to get a better project if you do it all at once right now versus you wait 5 to 10 years and you try and, I wouldn't say scab, you know, the in between the curbs, but it's just going to be an easier pour, and you're going to have a better finished product if you do it all at once, correct?
Correct, yeah, because when the thing for it, and you guys move forward with the paving, they'll actually pour the curb and gutter with the lanes. So it'll be all one single pour of concrete rather than, you know, dolling into the existing curb and gutter. I mean, you're going to have a better product, no doubt. I would anticipate if you did move forward with paving, or didn't forward with paving the roundabout and you chose to do it at a weird time, yeah, I mean, it seems fairly straightforward, just to basically pull the rock and pour the concrete right in at that elevation. But yeah, you will have the rock removal, you will have subgrade prep, you will have to dowel into the concrete, the existing curb and gutter. So, I mean, it's all process. I mean, I would anticipate more than 50% of an increase on something like that. I mean, I guess $40,000 to $50,000 additionally in the future.
And the last thing that, you know, I think we as council need to think about is our city crews and maintenance of this. If we don't do it now, we do it in the future, because there's going to be some added rock. You know, there's going to be some spots that are probably going to settle, probably going to go over the curb. There's going to be some extra labor with that, which is would not be fun, removing the rock out of the grass areas. Mm-hmm. And then also worrying about plowing them, because, you know, if we wait, I guarantee there's probably going to be some spots may settle a little bit. To me, I would think there's probably going to be some chipping that would go on when they're using the blade, and there is going to be some inconsistencies if you do it at a later time. I just think overall we're going to get a much better product if we do it now versus wait. Even though, like I said, I see where you come from, Clayton, and I would like to see baseball fields done sooner rather than later. You know, everything done for the athletics, or, you know, whatever we have going on for the actual facility done. But, you know, we need to have a solid infrastructure to service that area for the future to come.
This also benefits every part of Prairie Park and not just a baseball field. Like, it's easier access for the dog parks, for the campers, for the people that are there just driving to go see the lake. So
soccer
people. Yeah. Right. This helps more than just one particular group. So
just a quick question. Did Harris give an estimate on when they could begin?
End of September?
Yeah.
So just thinking about what you brought up, Matt, with the blading and things, will there be issues transitioning from gravel to the concrete? And won't we run into the same chipping issues and everything on the rest of the roads that are still gravel?
They will taper the ends of the curbs where it meets the gravel and stops. So we'll just have a butt end for the blade to catch. If we were too far, we'd kind of ride up like we do on somebody's driveway, and we'd be able to get back over onto the pavement and drop it down. So it shouldn't have a blunt edge to hit and chip off that.
Okay.
Refresh my memory what the total prices of the project is. It's like $399 something. That's with the addition of paving the roundabout.
$399, $246.95 is the base bid, and the alternate bid was $490, $12.85. $490,000. $490,000, $12.85. Is the with the alternate.
I'm going to introduce resolution 2025-46 and accept the bid with the addition of paving of the roundabout and award it to T.R. Harris in the amount of $490,012.85.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any more discussion? Roll call.
Hard day, I gotta get back to my. You good?
Yeah.
I had to charity.
That was everyone.
I did not see it. You cleared it before I had it.
Oh.
on the screen. So I have no idea what happened.
6-0.
Was it? Okay.
Okay, the resolution has passed. Thank you. Item number 9, Resolution 2025-47, authorizing the allocation of property taxes to the Wayne Airport Authority, $96,105. Last year, this was $83,787. Beth Porter, hello.
Okay, so the airport and the city both have their allocations or requests coming before city council. They have to make those requests by August 1, but we don't have valuations until August 20th, so it's, you don't really have firm numbers on this. The airport asked for a dollar amount. The CRA asked for a levy amount, so they're two different things when you see that come forward. So the airport, for their general ask, is that $96,105. They do have a debt service ask also. That does not come out of the city general request, so you don't see that as a formal request. Just so you know, that amount has gone down. They've paid off one of their hangar loans, so the amount for their debt service did decrease $8,274. Just so you know, in the overall levy amount, that amount will go down. So when valuations come in August 20th, with me projecting a 6% increase on this, it keeps it right at about 2.5 cents for the airport for their overall general and debt. If those valuations come in higher, last year they came in at 10%, you're gonna see a decrease in the levy for the airport, but the dollar amount is going to stay the same for their request.
Okay.
I'll introduce Resolution 2025-47 and move for approval unless I need to state an amount. Amy?
Yes, put the amount in.
The amount of $96,105 to the Wayne Airport Authority.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Roll call. And the resolution has passed. Somebody hasn't voted yet, though.
I thought I did.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Passed unanimously.
Yes, you can delete it.
Item number 10, Resolution 2025-48, authorizing the allocation of property taxes to the Wayne Community Redevelopment Authority, 2.6 cents per $100 of the taxable value of real property within the city of Wayne.
Sorry, I addressed this a little bit with the previous action. They're asking for 2.6 cents of the levy, so when valuations come in, that's when that dollar amount would be determined. Using a 6% estimate, that would bring them $99,950. If valuations come in higher, they would receive a higher dollar amount, but that 2.6 levy would not change.
And that 2.6 is statutorily the highest you can go as a CRA.
I'll introduce Resolution 2025-48 and move for approval allocating property taxes to the Wayne Community Redevelopment Authority, 2.6 cents per $100.
Second. Motion and a couple of seconds. Any more discussion? Roll call.
Stop.
And the resolution has passed unanimously.
Thanks,
Beth. Item number 11, Ordinance 2025-12, amending the Wayne Municipal Code, Title 15, Land Usage, Chapter 152, Zoning, Section 152.111, SFP, Floodplain District. This is the second reading.
This is the one I stumbled through last time, so Joel's here tonight if you have questions you really want answered.
I'll just quickly state that we, in fact, got a letter from FEMA today letting us know that our deadline is September 5th to adopt, and it's our final notice. If we fail to do so, nobody in the community would be eligible to be part of the Nebraska National Flood Insurance Program. So.
Okay.
So you want to table it, or?
Please no.
I'll introduce Ordinance 2025-12, amending the Wayne Municipal Code, Title 15, Land Usage, Chapter 152, Zoning, Section 152.111, SFP, Floodplain District.
Thank you.
Second.
All right, motion and second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Joel, do we need to wait three readings, or
no,
does it doesn't matter?
One more.
My question.
Sorry,
Matt. Sorry. The motion has passed unanimously. We'll see that one more time. Item number 12, Economic Development Department Report and Semi-Annual LBA 4A Report. Luke Virgil is here with the Economic Development Director.
Okay.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for letting us give a quick update. I don't want to go into it too much on the economic development side. The narrative in the budget packet has a lot of the same stuff that I would talk about in an annual report for the department. The biggest change that we've had is staffing. We had two individuals resign in September and October of 2024 respectively, but we've replaced both of those. Elise Reese came on in November, and she's been doing a really good job on the housing side. And in her time, she's actually added some responsibility. Their organization now manages a facility in Carroll that is income controlled. And that's very similar to the Meadowview property here in Wayne that Wayne Community Housing has operated for 20 plus years. The other staffing change was Braden Sharp left, and then we hired Morgan Woodward to do our marketing and tourism stuff. And she's done a phenomenal job. If you look at our social media, we have been having a lot of fun with that. A couple of numbers. Business transitions. In 2024, we saw 8 new businesses and transitions of 7 businesses to new ownership or new branding. This year, we're already at 6 transitions, and we have 4 new businesses. There's 2 major closings. One was Swans on Main Street, and another one coming up here in August with Hometown Cafe. You can't win everything, but we know that right now there's some uncertainty in the economy. Ag sector is down a little bit because of commodities. We know that housing is a little uncertain. We're not sure how Prairie Park Apartments is going to impact the local market totally. And our businesses are anxious because they don't know how tariffs are going to impact their overall bottom line. I want to transition now and talk more about LD 840. We did not do a report for 6 months at the beginning of 2025. I apologize for not getting that on the agenda. So if you look in your packet, I went a lot deeper with our report to summarize a lot of the stuff that happens in that program. If you go to that one pager that I put together, there's 3 highlighted bullet points that I really want you to look at. Phase one, this is the stuff that happened between 2009 and 2018. It's stuff that isn't gonna change except for the loans that are being repaid. There was about $1 million in grants that went out in the first few years of that program in phase one. We never are going to recover any of that other than those businesses thriving in the community or those organizations thriving in the community. The $2.2 million in loans has been coming back in for the most part, and that keeps me up to date on what those repayments are. In phase two, this is where we've initiated a revolving loan program. So that's any extra sales tax receipts that we received in the first 15 years of the program, along with repayments on those loans, that $2.2 million in loans. And so I put some statistics in there. We've given out $2.8 million in loans in that 6 or 7 years that that program's been operating, which totals over $14.5 million in projects throughout the community. So for every dollar that this organization has invested, about $5 was invested in the community overall. I think that's a pretty good track record. The average loan amount is $168,000. The average interest rate has been 1.73%, which is incredibly competitive compared to traditional lending numbers right now. So the last piece that I would like you to look at, and I know it's budget time, maybe this is the best or the worst time to talk about it. This fund is showing a shortage of available funds, and Wes and I can go back and forth on the merits of whether or not we should add funds to this account or if the city even has that available. But I think the performance of this program has proven its worth, and I think it'd be a wise investment to add funds to it. And we can talk about the merits either way.
Luke, for the LB 840 loans that you were talking about, do you have a committee that approves that, reviews that? How do those come to you?
So the process. The program was established with the Citizens Advisory Committee, and we don't utilize them as much anymore. But there is a secondary committee. They are a revolving loan committee with some financially minded folks, and they are the ones, along with myself, that see everything in an application. And so we don't share that publicly because there's a lot of proprietary information in those applications. There's a lot of sensitive financial data in those applications. So they vet the applications along with my office. We make sure that it is going to be a good investment by the city and that they have the ability to repay. Once that committee makes a recommendation, we bring it to council. The only time we bring it to council is if they recommend approval. If they recommend not to approve, we're not going to subject that applicant to kind of the public ire of like, why didn't yours get approved or recommended for approval? So, and we're very transparent with our applicants as they go through that process. Our office is the designated program administrator, and I put that in the narrative. Our office takes everything up to the council approval. Once that takes place, then Amy kind of takes over and does the loan closings. And then after Amy's got it all closed out, then it becomes Beth's responsibility for the repayment schedule. If there is an issue while Beth is doing repayments, then she punts it back to Amy for a potential foreclosure or any nasty grams. So. Mm-hmm. So. Team effort.
Very nice. Anybody have any more questions for Luke?
There is a sheet in there that outlines all the projects that have been approved. At the bottom, it talks about in green that overall interest rate. And I include that with every application that you see going forward. That's something that we added last year, and I felt it was a nice piece for you guys to see that running total and all the different projects throughout the program.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Item number 13, action to set our second budget work session for Monday, August 18th, 2025. So I didn't want this to be like trying to get everything all done in one evening and then we're stringing ourselves out and tired and so.
So moved.
Motion and a second.
Second.
Roll call. And the motion action has been approved. I'll try to make that a short council meeting as well. Item number 14 is our budget work session. We are going to go to the lower level conference room, give a little more casual environment that we can spread out a little bit and talk. If you need accessible